roll, baby, on MMA Junkie Radio with Gorgeous George and Goz. This is what we do and why we do it, baby. We rollin'!
Covering MMA from all over the world, this is the premier stop for all your combat sports needs. MMA Junkie Radio from the Mandalay Bay Resort and Casino in the fight capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada. The lights are on and the mics are hot. It's time to get your MMA fix, junkies. Take it away, Big John.
Gorgeous George and Goz, are you ready? Junkie Nation, are you ready? Well, let's get it on.
From the fight capital of the world, inside our beautiful home in Mountain's Edge, it's the MMA Junkie Radio Show, the only show that matters. I'm your host, Gorgeous George, and with me as always is the devious and dastardly Goz. Ari's co-host. What's up?
What up? You made a deadly mistake right now.
Max the JRT.
You locked eyes with the dog.
Yeah, he's making his presence felt, folks. Right now, as I talk about what's going to happen on this show, I'm keeping an eye on him. Oh, he looks like he's coming over to us to just chill. Or he may be giving us the look, hey, I need to take a piss or a dump. And then we got to let him out. But regardless, we're going to crank out a show, which will inform you of all the fight cards coming up this weekend, including Invicta FC 42, CFFC 84, ONE Championship 115, CFFC 85. Ooh, John Morgan's getting two paychecks. UFC on ESPN plus 36. And that's the one with Covington and Woodley. That's the big one. No disrespect to the other organizations. They know it. We all know it. The UFC is the NFL of our sport. So we'll talk about that and then some other news stories that have popped up here in the last 24 hours. Don't forget earlier today, because this is a late night edition of the Thursday show that's going to drop. So some of you are going to get this a little early. But earlier today on Sportscaster, we chatted, covered some of the latest news, talked to Juan Archuleta. And you can grab that show over at sportscaster.com/MMA Junkie. And so we try and save some of the news for later on and see how everything unfolds. And so there's some bits and pieces there that's been taking place, including a little brouhaha that almost took place in the host hotel here in Las Vegas. So we'll get into all that when we come back. It's MMA Junkie Radio on a late Wednesday edition here, September 16th.
Y caballeros, hablemos MMA con Danny Segura.
Hola amigos, Danny Segura here. Just wanted to drop in and tell you about a new show coming to MMA Junkie. It's Hablemos MMA, a weekly Spanish language podcast dedicated to all things professional fighting. On this show, we'll be covering the biggest news and topics of MMA, plus highlighting the most relevant stories happening in the growing Latin American scene. Hablemos MMA will also feature interviews with some of the best fighters, coaches, personalities, and experts in the game. You can find us every Monday on your favorite podcasting platform, starting July 27th. Talk to you then.
All right, so I know what you guys want. You want to know about the fight.
That's not what I want.
I can't blame you guys. What do you want, Goz?
I want to know what the difference between a brouhaha and a scuffle is. Is a brouhaha just everything that a scuffle brings minus the actual fighting part?
A scuffle is
shoving.
Yeah, it's kind of like what you see when two fighters kind of face off. More in boxing. Boxing seems to push it a little bit further. And then there's somebody already there to kind of break it up. So I don't think a punch landed clean. Let's just say it was you and I threw my best punch, but someone had already started intercepting me, like tackling me or pushing me into a wall. So if I clipped you, it didn't affect you. You maybe throw one back. You know who gets it the worst? The guy in the middle trying to separate us. That's a scuffle. A brouhaha would be...
Wait, so is John Jones and Daniel Cormier, was that a scuffle?
Well, see, that one kind of like, I mean, it spilled out a little bit, and more than just that little sequence happened. So I think that may have been a brouhaha.
See, I always think like the Warriors and the Orphans, that to me is a brouhaha.
They never mixed it up.
They never fought.
They threw a Molotov cocktail across the street.
Blew up his car. Yeah, that's it.
What was that? That was a brouhaha?
Yeah. And then a scuffle.
I think a brouhaha is a little bit more is a more of a fight.
Oh, it is.
I'd have to look it up and see if it's a synonym for actual fight. Whereas I think a scuffle is that could have turned into a fight.
See, I thought a scuffle was just a small fight.
You know what, man? We have the beauty of the internet. I'm gonna look it up right now. A scuffle is a short, confused fight or struggle at close quarters. So that was kind of right.
Yeah, maybe like if there's punches thrown, not very many. A lot of grappling, shoving.
A brouhaha. That's not leading me to an actual dictionary. We're going more to the Urban Dictionary. You ever use the Urban Dictionary?
Yeah,
I love it
quite a bit.
It says the act of a fight or skirmish, most commonly with a group of people.
Oh, come on.
So, yeah.
That didn't help.
It started off as a scuffle, and then once it spilled, remember, other people kind of got in there. Remember Malkikawa, I think, had he was trying to hold DC, right?
I don't remember.
I can't remember how it went down. But once he got involved, I think it turned into a brouhaha. All right, how about that? We wasted 3 minutes on synonyms for fight, for the word fight. But here's what happened, folks. We
educated.
At the Host Hotel here in Las Vegas, Kazma Shemiev, apparently, and his crew, according to Gerald Meerschaert, they had a little encounter. I guess they were passing each other up on media day, and one guy told the other guy, "You're talking too much." And Meerschaert said, "I only had one homeboy with me, and he had a group." Plus, Meerschaert says, I have no interest in this. Obviously, because A, you're outgunned. B, I don't even know that if Meerschaert had six and Shemiev only had two, that he sounded interested. What he said is, look, I want to get paid for fighting on Saturday. So let's forget about all these antics, you know? And Meerschaert actually is the one that's more pissed off of the two. He's the one saying, what the fuck? Like, did you forget you're fighting me? You guys are already planning your fight against Damian Maia at Yaz Island? So, if anybody, he should be more mad, right? He should be the confronter, not the confrontee. Right. He should be walking into Shemiyev and going, you got a big mouth. You know, you guys are already planning, you and the UFC are planning your fight at Yaz Island. Hey, respect, you like to stay busy and all, but would you really get Damian Maia coming off of a loss to me? You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, I kind of agree with him. Now, that said, I don't mind Shemiyev saying, this is my hit list. Goz and I have asked fighters that a lot, and they've given us the reply. This is who's on my hit list. And I don't mind Meerschaert being mad at Shemiyev having a hit list. What I do agree with, though, is I don't know if the UFC should have really involved themselves in the planning without being diplomats and saying, hey, look, we're interested in him versus Maia, but first things first, you know? Not only just will he win, will he be healthy, that type of shit.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. It doesn't happen. For the amount of fights that take place on a UFC card compared to, say, boxing, and the amount of cards that happen per week, this doesn't happen that often. It really doesn't. Like, I have to go back to, like, Marvin Vettori, right? It was probably, like, the last one that happened at the elevator. It doesn't really happen as often as you think.
That was in Jacksonville in April, right? Or May?
Yeah, it doesn't happen as often as you think it would. So, hey, man, every once in a while, these types of things are going to happen. But at the end of the day, they want to get paid.
Using that same logic, I want to give a couple shout-outs. Our YouTube channel is pretty big. It's youtube.com/MMAJunkieVideo. And I've been trying really hard to get in there and chat with you guys after we release the spinning backlick and the rankings report, just to kind of either fist bump people or answer questions. And I want to give a shout out because two guys kept it real and they seemed like they were just trying to acquire knowledge. Cooper 21 Bravo. Well, that sounds like a cool sign or something, right?
I thought you were calling in a missile strike or something.
Yeah. MMA Renegade's the other one. I'm going to have to check into this Renegade guy. Somebody left me a comment on Twitter and it sounds familiar. But they said, look, in the Ed Herman situation, what would you do if there was replay? Do you give Rodriguez the TKO or what? Even if there was a replay, they would have had they would have seen the bad call started, them standing, and then the same result. Well, everything he said was right, but we don't know if the same result happens because there was two of them. So you said this doesn't happen very often, and that's what I told him about Chris Tyone. Mm-hmm. Like, you and I think we started calling fights for Tough Enough. If I had to guess, maybe 2010, we saw Tyone. I mentioned somewhere, we do a lot of these shows, that I saw him once stand up a fight from Mount, but it was a long time ago, and he may have learned from them. I've never categorized him as a bad ref. I've never looked at him and said, that guy, I swear, I'm keeping an eye on that guy. He's never reached that part of my radar. Have you?
No, not at all.
Yeah.
But what I do think would have happened was, if you go to the replay, it's not like one of those where you need to look at multiple angles. It's very clear.
I'm going
to
play it out for you, all right? You're the ref. Okay. Rodriguez knees Herman because he need him twice. So he knees him in the solar plexus, and Herman winces in pain. You're the ref. You stop it. And then you tell Rodriguez, go to your corner. Ed Herman, you go to your corner. And then more than likely, since you already missed that it wasn't a groin strike, you're probably of the opinion that it wasn't intentional, and so you're just separating them. And you're standing there, you go, you got 5 minutes. And so then you just happen to look up, and you see the replay, and you realize your mistake. Then what? Take it from there.
Well, it doesn't really have to go with me seeing it, right? Somebody's got to review it, okay? Once they review it, they're going to say, nope, it wasn't to the nuts, and I can get that fight to go right away.
So then you tell both fighters, hold on a second.
Ready to go?
Be ready to go.
Here we go. Now, what the difference is...
And what if Herman goes, no, it was in the nuts, and then you're going to sit there and argue with him?
Look. No, because the guy already made his call, right? Okay. The same way if they go, he didn't get the first down, the guy can't go, yeah, but I saw he did. The call is the call.
Okay, but now...
So they start fighting, and that's the difference in this scenario, is rather than... Ed Herman getting 5 minutes, he only got maybe 2 minutes to recover. Mm-hmm. So you can't say that the same outcome would happen because he might still be hurt from that body shot.
Yeah.
He got a lot longer to rest in this case, and he was able to come back and win the fight. So
on
you can't
the second
say that,
one, though.
Yeah. So you can't say
so now
that,
he's
the
more
same,
damaged.
That the same outcome would have happened because you're giving a guy less time, you know, to catch his win.
So now let me ask you this. Let's say there isn't an official there. Because of COVID, we have a limited skeleton crew, so there's no official down there to tell you, hey, you missed it, right? So you're sitting there, and you look up and realize you miss it. Can you just restart it like you just said? You're Tyone.
No, because it's not in the rules, right?
Well, it isn't in the rules for the other one either. It's only in the
rules. I thought
rules.
We were talking about if that was a rule, because that's the whole argument,
well, that's
right?
Why I'm asking you. Could the rule also say that you could notice your mistake and then go, wait a minute, restart the fight? Because refs have done that before where they want to break it up, and then you see them like, oh, did do that little freeze matrix move, and they get out of the way because you could tell they were going to stop it, but then something told them don't stop it, and they get out of the way and the fight continues.
I think there's something to somebody that a neutral person watching the video from different angles or whatever and just making their decision. I wouldn't want the ref to have to do that in the middle of the fight, look up and
well,
all
no
that.
Not in the middle of the fight. I'm saying you've already
well, when
separated
it, when it
them
happens, yeah.
And the referees just kind of, or the doctor maybe comes in and goes, hey, are you all right? Shake them out or whatever. And in that time, you peek and you go, oh, shit, that wasn't to the groin. Then you tell the doctor, get out. We're going to restart this fight right away, right? Would you want that in the...
I don't
so
like
you only
it.
Want it with the guy outside.
I only like
it
with the guy
out
outside because the ref. What happens with the referee is then people are going to start to say that he's being influenced by the crowd. Right, if the crowd's booing, boo, boo, he might feel pressure like, oh, yeah, okay, come on, get him back, right, that whole thing. Mm-hmm. When you have an independent guy, it's the same thing as the judges, right? He's independent, he's making his ruling, he gets it to Chris, and the fight goes. But I don't want the referee to have to make that kind of decision.
Okay, and then what about the times where...
They're too scared
and we
to
can
make
say,
a mistake.
This doesn't happen very often, right?
Yeah, but they're too scared to make a mistake, and Dana White shitting on them makes it worse. So that's why I don't think referees...
You know how
power.
Some referees see the eye poke and then they stop it, they call timeout? And then you've seen some fighters go, whoa, 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 and then they call their own timeout.
Right.
And the referee kind of trusts them and goes,
sometimes,
oh, yeah. Right. What if you find out it's a knuckle? Either you looking up or the other official telling you, no, it's not an eye poke, it's a knuckle. And so what I'm saying
you
is,
can't really
same
do
thing
that.
With like a fence grab or grabbing the shorts. Are we going to stop it every single time to correct it? I think at some point you just have to let humans
judge humans and humans ref humans that are fighting and just live with the consequences. Because look at the Cowboys-Ram game. Did you see that play with Jalen Ramsey and the Cowboy receiver? I think his name was Michael Gallup. Mm-hmm. A lot of people have been asked, and I hate the Cowboys, right?
Right.
But I didn't think that was interference. I think Jalen Ramsey, because he's an all-pro, kind of sold it because he kind of pushed his chest a little bit. But I don't think it was the most egregious thing ever. But the referee goes offensive interference, and that was a big play because that might have changed the outcome of the game. But that was his call on the offense. It wasn't reviewable or anything, and that was that. I think most officials would have said, I'd let it go. But in that case, that one didn't. And we all go, the Cowboys, all 53 of them and the coaching staff got on the plane, went home, and they just deal with it next week.
But what are the Cowboys do? It sucks. They play next week.
Yeah.
Right? They have a chance to make things up. It's not really like that in our sport. Like that receiver didn't get KO'd. You know what I mean? Like that couldn't have maybe chopped down some of his career. It's a lot different in combat sports. So like a knuckle and a finger, there's a lot going on. I could see how a fighter could think that was a finger. It makes sense. You know, but this particular, come on, man. You gonna tell me Ed Herman really thought he got hit in the nuts? Obviously he didn't. I'm not gonna hate on him. I would have probably done the same thing. I think a lot of people would have done the same thing. But you can't honestly tell me that Ed Herman was thinking, I think I might have got me in the nuts. Like, it didn't even come near his nuts.
Right.
It was an acting job. He did what he had to do. A lot of people would have done it. But as far as eye poke versus knuckle, I think there's a lot of times where fighters just can't tell.
All right. Well, I've heard your input a few times, and I've given my input, and I guess we'll just agree to disagree. But I don't want to stop the game in the middle of a fight. I just think a lot is lost. I just think once these guys are on, you should only stop them to get that 1 minute breather, to get their instructions, to get their water, to get their face cleaned up or their cuts attended to. But as far as stopping it mid-fight, I'm still confused as to what happens with the mouthpiece, honestly, because you can't tell if it's been spit out or hit out or what. I like that refs kind of let it go unless there's one moment where they can intercede and then shove it in their mouth. But even then, there's other people that go, well, you're supposed to go to the corner and wash it and, you know, whatever. And then I can't say this now because they're only fighting in Las Vegas, but Bellator is in Uncasville and, you know, CFFC is important to that guy and Titan's important to that guy. Is the next state going to do it? Is it going to be consistent? Or what if the UFC in 6 months does start traveling? Is the Florida Commission or Texas Commission or whatever, are they going to do it? And if not, are we going to be like, fuck, they did it in Nevada? And so that's where I want it to be either consistent across the board or not. But I don't know, man. I don't like stopping the game more than it needed to be. This all happened, I think.
But I don't think the NFL started it.
Like, the NFL started it, and it was like, God damn, we want to get it right, especially, you know, I liked it when it was like in the last 2 minutes of a game or in the last quarter, but Jesus, stopping it all the time, like, I don't know, man. Like,
but where do you see that it's being stopped, though? The fight's going to get stopped anyways because he thought it was a nut shot. It's already stopped, right? The only thing that's happening is in that time, somebody's looking and go, wait a minute, this did not happen. If anything, it's making the fight come sooner than it is longer. It's actually making it come back quicker. Well, the other way, you wait 5 minutes.
The knuckle, and then somebody maybe a fence grab or
same deal. Okay, if it's a 5 minute foul, the only thing that can happen is you can get to the fight quicker. You're not going to be delayed more.
No, but what I'm saying is this: let's say in this instance, Rodriguez and Herman are fighting, and Herman, he's the wrestler. I'll pick him. He goes to take down Rodriguez. And in that process, Rodriguez held on to the fence, but the ref missed it because he's just out of position or whatever. Can that official outside go, stop the fight and tell the ref you missed the fence grab? Because he would have obviously taken him down and had him in a good position, but the fence grab stopped it. So that's why I'm saying, where are we going to stop differentiating what's egregious, what isn't?
That's a different type of foul, I think, because then that would be having to stop the fight. In the scenario we're talking about now, it's already stopped, right? In that one, I don't think you should stop the fight. But maybe what they could look at, I just don't know if it would work, is if it was horrific and the guy missed it, maybe you could look at taking away a point, you know, for the foul. But you'd have to do it right then and there because that fighter needs to know going into the next round, I'm already down a point because of this. You can't just do it at the end of the fight. Oh, by the way, looking back at the tape, you know, like, you can't do that.
So then the ref is told, hey, it wasn't a kick to the nuts. Start the fight. And then you just start it right then and there.
And you start it right then and there. So if anything, what you're actually doing is making the fight come together quicker.
Okay. And then it happened the second time. And then you just do that same process again.
Because either way, the guy's going to be sitting there going, oh, well, right? But
then do you now tell Ed Herman, fool, that's the second time. Now I got to take a point?
If it's a second time where he faked the nut shot,
I have to rewatch it. Did he actually go, oh my God, my nuts? Or did he just go, oh?
No.
And then the referee assumed it was a nut shot.
The referee was the one that jumped
right.
in.
So could the.
He didn't even hold
Ed Herman
nuts.
Go, I haven't even said anything about my nuts. You're the one that stopped it, and I'll take the break if you're going to give it to me.
Yeah, I think he could.
Wow. All right.
His defense is, what do you want from me?
Going back to what I was saying, it doesn't happen very often. And that's why I'm not too worried about it. You know, we'll see how this game unfolds. I want reffing, judging, everything to always get better, for sure. So it's great to explore it, and it's great to have these conversations. There was one other one. So that was Copper to Bravo. And then, did I read what he said? Or did we just say that he had a cool call sign?
I think we just said he had a cool call sign.
He said, in the Ed Herman situation, what would you do if there was replay? Do you give Rodriguez the TKO or what? Even if there was a replay, they would have seen the bad call. Oh, yeah, yeah. And then he said something about the same result. Then MMA Renegade says, this is on YouTube, the comment section, off the spinning back click, episode. So that's the name of the video. He says, that's what I was wondering as well. I think the only fair thing to do, he says that in quotes, would be to restart it once they realized it wasn't a foul, which really isn't fair to Rodriguez either. Overall, a shitty situation. Why does he say it's not fair to Rodriguez either?
Because either way, the fight was stopped for a little bit
of
time.
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay. I thought he meant the restart wasn't fair.
Do you kind
of
picture...
So both of these guys are kind of agreeing with what you're saying.
I kind of picture MMA Renegade coming on like a chopper or something, you know, taking off his helmet. He's got a...
Yeah.
I don't know, spike your hair or something.
Yeah. Well, my answer to them was, look, I just don't want to pause the fight more than they need to. And then how's it going to be handled every week? Are we going to have consistency or not? And I don't think we're there. And I don't think it's something like, it's not like when it happened, we said, oh, man, I remember when it happened on the previous card, you know, the one with Alistair Overeem. I remember that when it happened at Yazai, like, it doesn't happen that often. So I think we keep an eye on it and see. And maybe that's something. We should ask Big John. When you book Big John, does he go, you again? Or does he like say, anytime you need me, baby?
He does anytime you need me, baby. But I do the threatening thing with Big John. Like Cormier.
You threaten him?
Well, I just tell him, hey, guess what you're doing tomorrow at this time or whatever.
Yeah.
It usually works.
Let's wait for another controversy or two and let's have him back and we'll for sure ask him
how that needs to be handled. Honestly, what I was thinking about was we should just ask Chris to come on.
Chris Tyone, the one and only?
I don't think we've ever talked to him, have we?
No, we haven't.
But anyway.
Yeah. All right, that's a good idea. Okay, so we covered the little brouhaha at the hotel. Actually, it wasn't a brouhaha because it wasn't a fight. It wasn't even a scuffle. It was just a run-in. There we go. A verbal run-in.
They needed to be separated.
But you don't want that, you know, because the wrong push or the wrong... You know, anything that just happens to get these guys going, you don't ever want to put others in jeopardy. The host hotel is probably already doing a nice thing by just making it a UFC only hotel. And why ruin this fight? Let's watch this fight. You know, let's see what they can do on Saturday. So, but I do like glares. I do like mean mugs. I do like hearing about that. I even have said I'll even take a shove. It doesn't bother me. I just don't want punches thrown. And I definitely don't want a situation where six people are intimidating one person and actually willing to act on it. And I'm not sure that Shimaev wouldn't tell his crew, hey, cool it. We're fighting on Saturday. So I don't want to imply that either. Covington, he took a photo with, he fights this weekend, by the way. He took a picture with Justin Gaethje, Donald Trump, Henry Cejudo, Dana White, and Ali Abdelaziz. He was asked today during the media day, hey, what's going on? Do you have a truce with Ali Abdelaziz? If you'll recall, last year or year before, there was a run-in at the Palms Buffet with Ali Abdelaziz, Kamaru Usman, and I think the other guy was Usman's brother. and Colby Covington. There's a video. Google it. You'll find it. And so, you know, Covington's never said kind things about Ali. And Ali, vice versa, same thing. But in this photo, it does look like all the homies hanging out with the Prez. So he was asked about it, and he said, nope, I only did it for Dana White. I still think he's a, whatever he called him, a rat or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
What did we expect him to say, right?
Yeah, I mean,
that's Colby.
I'm actually kind of shocked that they held all of them, because it's not just Colby. You know, Ali can be a hothead, too. Fighters are fighters. So I was just shocked that they were even put in the same room, but... Hey, man.
Well, Dana was there, and I think out of respect for Dana, you don't.
Have you ever heard what Colby says about Dana sometimes? I mean.
Uncle Fester?
Yeah, he comes at him too. So I think it was more out of respect for the president.
The president. And, yeah. Yeah. I think Colby was going to be there regardless if the other guys made it in. I think Dana was going to be there regardless of the other guys getting in. But Ali, on his social media, he was thanking some other gentleman for helping him be there. And I think once they were there, they probably just said, like, let's get us all together, maybe. Who knows what? But no, there's no truce between Covington and Abdelaziz. All right. Pitbull goes, he says, I wish Poirier was free to leave for the UFC, to leave the UFC and fight over in Bellator. I ain't hating on that fight, by the way. But
you're hating on him leaving the UFC, right?
If he went for one fight, I would support that. To fight Pitbull. But then what happens if he fights and wins the title? Scott's going to want to keep him. Yeah, you got to defend it now, I guess. You're my champ. Mm-hmm. Or does he just go, thank you for the belt, drop it, and then come back to UFC, and then it's vacant again? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, he literally just had something similar happen with Jorge Gluchi, right? Going to Ryzen and all that. So he wouldn't – none of this would ever happen. But the point is, when you look at the two guys – for Bellator, Pitbull's one of those guys where it doesn't matter who he fights. It's going to be a good fight. It's going to be fun because the guy just comes out to fight. Dustin's the same guy for the UFC. So, of course, when you say both names, you go, hell yeah, it's going to be one hell of a fight. But it would never happen.
You know what was really cool was when
Unless
RFA,
Dustin's afraid to fight him.
When RFA fought LFC,
yeah,
and they had the Access TV belt. So if Bellator and the UFC had, we'll call it the WAMA belt or something else, where neither belt was at jeopardy, but it was some kind of a unification, or the BMF for real belt, or I don't know, something like that. That'd be pretty cool.
That was our fault. You know that,
right? How about just a bag of money or something?
Like a old-time burglar?
Yeah, the winner just walks away, and that bag of money, it's got the S with the two lines, mm-hmm. walks away with $1 million or something. No belt, but just it's a money fight or something.
That would be legit.
That sounds like the type of shit Vince McMahon comes up with.
That LFA thing, that was us, wasn't it?
I believe so.
Yeah, that happened in our studio. In the studio, I think I asked Andrew Simon or someone like if they would do it or
Ed.
And then that caught fire. And the next thing you know, it like literally happened within, let's say the interview was in September. I think the card happened in December. Like,
to be fair, didn't Ali want to have his WSOF guys fight LFA, or was it fight Bellator, and then that initiated a little bit of talk, and then it went in another direction? Do you remember that as well?
I don't.
Yeah, because
I remember somebody doing it afterward. After that had happened, somebody said, we want next. But it was a lopsided one where it was like, no disrespect, even though I'm about to disrespect, where it was kind of like, let's say Bellator wants a piece of LFA or something like that, you know, mm-hmm. where you just go, come on, man.
Hmm. All right. How about this? Kevin Holland thought he was fighting Darren Till, and then he found out it was Darren Stewart.
That was pretty funny.
Whether it's true or not, it's just funny. And yeah. That's great mind games. I love those kind of mind games.
I wonder if it's true just how long it took to figure it out. You know, obviously he's not going to show up into camp and have 3 or 4 workouts and then all of a sudden go, wait a minute, why are we training this? Like, it was probably, 10 minutes or something like that?
Probably, yeah. Donald Cerrone is saying, hey, enough with the retirement talk. I'm going to leave when I'm done. So don't ask him about it. I think it's fair for the media to ask Donald, well, what are your plans? Without being too rude, you're just not in title contention, but do you have a certain amount of fights left? Do you have certain opponents you'd like to face, but we just don't see you on a title run? I think that's fair, right?
It is, but we're talking about a guy that's He's a friendly guy, but he's not really a media friendly guy. He's not a guy that does a lot of shows or a lot of media. So I just don't think he's very used to being asked those types of questions.
Mm-hmm.
And to be fair, the UFC hasn't really made him do that much. So it's one of those situations where you just know going in, if you're going to ask that type of question, you're probably going to get that type of answer from him. You just pray that every now and again he throws you a bone, which he does every now and again.
Randa Marcos says she's absolutely not trying to grapple with Mackenzie Dern. If she's a lie, I like that she's playing that game a little bit, you know, a little bit of a smokescreen. But because Randa's got good wrestling, she likes to take fights down. But I like her admitting, hey, look, this chick's on another level. Let's throw hands.
They're both they're not really the single leg takedown type gals. They like to throw people, especially from that little headlock position. I don't see a scenario where they don't lock up. And I don't see either one of them passing up that scenario. So I think for sure someone's getting tossed. That fight's hitting the ground. Trust me.
Fair enough. What'd you think? Did we talk about this today? We didn't really talk about Dana White Contender Series on today's show because we spoke to Juan Archuleta for a while. And then we covered some other news. Excuse me. But what'd you think of Danielle Wolfe getting a contract? She's 1-0 as an MMA fighter, but she was like, she had like 40 boxing fights. Mm-hmm. So she's competitive as a combat sports athlete, but she's raw as an MMA athlete. But she did win her fight against someone who was 5-0.
I don't think she deserved a contract, but I get why they did it.
They need featherweights.
They need featherweights, and you don't want her to go to somebody else.
Yeah.
You know, Bellator could use featherweights too. You know, she can go that way. Mm-hmm. And I think Scott Coker has shown that he has a little bit more patience for those types of scenarios. This girl showed a little promise, but she just looks like she's maybe a year away from getting to where she really needs to go. So she did some things that you kind of see with a lot of young fighters. And that's like when she went for the guillotine, she put herself in possibly a really bad situation. And I think that's what happens when people start to train that ground game, is they really want those types of finishes and those types of submissions. And it doesn't always, like, even the best grapplers, when they go for that, don't always get that finish. You know what I mean? You have to be cognizant of those types of things.
Those little up kicks bought her some time. Did you notice that? If she doesn't throw those and the other girl just splits her guard, she may have had a chance to get into a dominant position and hurt her. I mean, she hurt her on the feet once.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? 4-ounce gloves, man. No mercy. But
I think a developmental thing would have worked better because, like, honestly, who are you going to give her? You know, that's already a featherweight. Whoever you give her, I think, would probably beat her right now. So you'd have to get somebody like almost like another Contender Series fight, but on the UFC card. And you'd have to do like two of those at least to get her somewhat somewhere where you can. Because the best thing is the market.
Developmental
her.
Though, what happens?
I think that's Hardy. When you send her like LFA, right, and they fight, but they're still under a UFC contract. But did Greg Hardy contract. Do that?
Because he was developmental. I think they just maybe basically just got him training. Someone else and said, "Hey, look." Fight this less experienced fella, you know, like I think they should just lose that term developmental. We're just gonna put her in against someone who's got her type of experience and see how they do. Developmental. I mean, that sounds like the taxi squad in the NFL or something. So I mean, you know what it really sounds like? We just don't want Bellator to sign her, so we got her under contract. Just call it a contract and feature her against someone who has, I mean, if they already featured her against someone who's 5-0, they shouldn't have a problem with 6-1, 7-2, 8-3, or 4-1. I don't know. I mean, I lose that term, Dana. Here's what happened, though. Kyle Driscoll defeated Dennis Paiva. Danielle Wolfe defeated Tanisha Tennant. Michael Lombardo defeated Corey Koop. Colin Angelin defeated Muhammad Naimov. And Jordan Williams defeated Gregory Rodriguez.
What'd you think of Lombardo's case? For one, his voice was cracking me up.
Hey, Mr. Lombardo. You know where that's from?
Yeah, the two chicks that make out. What was
Wild
that?
Things.
Wild Things, yeah.
Denise Richards and
the girl from Scream.
From Party of Five or something like that.
Yeah.
What was her name?
It's kind of like a weird name.
Nev Campbell. I came through. And then the dude's name is
Matt Dillon,
yeah. It's one of those little sex movies.
So he had a really, really kind of funny Kevin voice. But Kevin Bacon. Yeah. But his whole thing was, look, man, you gave me a southpaw. This dude's enormous. That was just a tough fight for me to really come out and knock someone out. I kind of feel him a little bit. I think you can give him a little bit of a pass. But the thing is, you just got to know Dana ain't hearing it. You're just not hearing those types of things, you know? But I kind of fell for him a little bit, too, because it's like, man, you can't just go up to get thrown into the pit like that and always expect to slay the lion, right? Like, every once in a while.
So they had three, right? Careful.
Winners?
William, no, five winners. Williams, contract winners.
Wolf.
Anglin.
The guy that, the Williams. Two guys that banged really good. That kid got a contract.
That's Angelin. Colin Angelin. That fight was awesome. One was of the great. Best Dana White Contender Series fights I've ever seen.
Yeah.
That's the one where if I was going to give the loser one to, I would have given the loser one. If I was ever going to
do it. There's one a couple weeks ago, too, that I think you could do that.
And then Jordan Williams. So that was that. It was a fun night of fights. Let's see here. Four decisions and one TKO stoppage. But still, for me, I enjoyed it because there was some good competition going on. All right, folks, that's kind of like the latest news. Let's turn now to the event happening this weekend, UFC on ESPN plus 36.
The Sneak is a true crime podcast from For the Win in USA Today, and this season is on a surfing champion whose life took a violent, tragic turn.
Within 30 seconds, they're both dead.
The Sneak, Murders at Whiskey Creek, is out July 29th, wherever you get podcasts.
Okay, folks, so this is the schedule for this week. This weekend. It all starts on September 17th, Thursday, tomorrow, because this is a late night edition of Junkie Radio, or technically, I guess, by the time you get it, it's tonight. It's on the UFC Fight Pass. This young lady's been fighting for Invicta forever. Her name is Ashley Cummins. The reason I remember this is because I think she was a little lazy when it came time to making up a nickname. Her nickname's Smashley.
I mean, but whatever. Funny.
Yeah, you know, but am I Georgie Porgy, I guess? Or I remember some girl when I worked at State Farm used to call me Borge.
Borge?
Yeah, I would have just preferred she just call me Georgie Porgy, but she just picked something that rhymed with George and said, hey, Borge.
Not even like she didn't throw the George in front of him, just Borge?
Borge, yeah.
I was God, Borge. That's dumb.
But I was only 21 and I was just, okay, she was pretty.
Would you have so tripped out if take it? Somebody stood up in a cubicle and went, you talking to me? And it was like yeah. Borge Gonzalez or something? Yeah.
I do remember Harika Tubricio. I think I had to maybe rank her, consider ranking her, but I don't recognize too many of the names. And I don't think I've said this enough. Man, when Invicta made the splash and got into MMA, everyone loved it. Everyone talked about it. It does very, very well on the UFC Fight Pass. It might be the most highly ranked show on UFC Fight Pass. But man, do I miss some of the star power that they had created. And, you know, the UFC basically absolved everything. Once Ronda came around, and it was the real deal, but
it could have been fun, huh? If all of them stayed over there,
mm-hmm.
They'd have some pretty decent cards.
Stitch used to love to go work over there. Mm-hmm. He said they treated the girls really good and top notch. But they're still chugging along, so we're always going to cover them. So the main card starts at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. That Cummins lady. She's fighting Alicia Zapatella for the vacant atomweight title. 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific on the UFC Fight Pass.
They DJ called DeSantis some of her, is on the call. Some of her fights at Tough Enough.
Smashley?
Yeah.
I had forgotten that one. Okay, CFFC 84 taking place in Mississippi. Has John been around? I thought he was at handling the UFC stuff. Did he take off? Sometimes he commentates these shows.
I think he might have taken off.
Oh, okay.
What?
Okay, so John, Jared Scoggins is on this fight card, not Justin Scoggins. I wonder if they're related. This is for the vacant bantamweight title. He fights Thomas Vasquez. I don't recognize any of the other names, but oh, not Sean Burrell's on there. But kudos to these guys. All these promotions deserve a little bit of love because it's got to be difficult right now trying to have shows. CFFC is an East Coast based show, and they're doing things in Mississippi, so that must have been where they found a home.
Fighters are getting paid. They're getting experience. So God bless them. UFC Fight Pass, 8:30 p.m. Eastern. And this is on the 17th. So this show will also be tomorrow. ONE Championship. They're in Bangkok, Thailand. Ooh, I don't have enough info on them. Sorry. Next up, CFFC 85, the next day on the 18th. So that's Friday. Still at the Horseshoe and Tunica Hotel and Casino. Bobby Lee versus Mike Hill is the main event. And I'm not so sure I recognize any of the other names. It says Nashawn Burrell, Sean Soriano. We probably haven't gotten the full listing of who they have. Sometimes we're just at the beck and call of what they submit to us. Montel Williams Jr., I think he used to be a tough enough guy too. Yeah. And then, of course, the UFC on Saturday. They're on ESPN Plus, folks. That's for the prelims and for the main card. Things start off at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific. Last week, I got caught off guard. And I remember it was like 3, thinking I was getting ready to settle in. And it was just a show that was starting off earlier. So Miguel Baeza versus Jeremiah Wells. Tyson Nam versus Jerome Rivera. Because Matt Schnell is out. They were supposed to fight last week, and Schnell couldn't. TJ Laramie, who he had an interview with this week, versus Derek Minner. Andre Ewell versus Irwin Rivera. Randy Costa versus Journey Newsom. Jessica Rose Clark goes. Cool, she's nice. Versus Sarah Alpar. David Dvorak versus Jordan Espinoza. Myra Buena Silva versus Mara Romero Barella. Mursad Bektik versus Eduardo Garagori. Now time for the main card. Kevin Holland versus Darren Stewart. Not Darren Till. Mackenzie Dern versus Randa Marcos. Ryan Spann versus Johnny Walker. Kamzat Shimaev versus Gerald Meerschaert. Donald Cerrone versus Nico Price. Colby Covington versus Tyron Woodley. What a great card, huh?
Very good card. But it's all about the main event.
And the main card starts at 8 Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. Yeah.
The main event's going to be dope. Great, great fight.
Someone's going to go home depressed, right?
Oh, yeah.
Especially if it's a finish. Someone's going to be very pissed that they lost to the other guy. I think for Woodley, it would be devastating.
You think they shake hands at the end of the fight?
Man, something happens when they make it out of that third round. I think when they come out for the fourth, they give each other a look of respect, kind of like, I may not like you. You're not invited to the next barbecue, but I respect that we're both still standing here after 15 minutes, ready to possibly tangle for 10 more.
At fourth round, though, I'd imagine there'd be a smile on Colby's face if we make it that far.
Yes, because he probably would have missed some of the heaviest artillery that Tyron mm-hmm. has. And I would imagine that his gas tank's better just because he's more active. He can push it further. So, yeah, I would think that that's the case. But I don't know. Woodley's built like a Greek god, and his kicks are good when he throws them. His punches are heavy when he throws them. You know, in the Gilbert Burns fight goes, I watched it, and he exploded more than he hadn't in some previous fights. It's just that Burns was really, really active and had already started to put some wear and tear and some damage on him. So even when he wanted to, he did, but then some of it missed, and Burns was just better and faster. I don't think it was – I think I saw something out of Woodley that I hadn't seen in some other fights, but it was just too late against a younger, hungrier guy.
That's what made it a little heartbreaking because he did kind of shore up some of that stuff. Problem with Burns was he was just excellent.
Mm-hmm.
He's a lot better than people think. You know,
Miss Goes's reference to the real Mr. Burns.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent, Smithers. All right, let's see here.
I know Dan Tom's laughing his ass off.
Dan's really good at the some of his impersonations. I think he's got a Smith or a Mr. Burns one in there somewhere.
There are, not to pat ourselves on the back, but there are a lot of people that listen to the show. But if only one person gets a joke, I'll crack it. If I know only Dan Tom will crack up, I'll say it. I don't care.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm dumb.
Covington's up to -345. Woodley back at +285. Nico Price is slightly favored over Cerrone. I'm not going to say them all.
Shimaev minus 380, for Christ's sake, against Gerald Meerschaert at plus 315. Johnny Walker, slight favorite over Ryan Spann. Spann's won five in a row. Walker, I think, lost two or three in a row. Dern, minus 165. Marcos, plus 145. Holland, minus 250 over Darren Stewart, plus 210. Bektik, minus 515 over Garagori. You want to know any others? Jessica Rose Clark's minus 225.
I would say bet all the underdogs on this one.
Laramie, who we interviewed, minus 300 against Minner.
First official fight in the UFC, and you come in minus 300.
Yeah. Listen, we're 1 week away from a UFC watch-along on Sportscaster. But, Ghost, this fight card looks so much fun, and I love Sportscaster. I don't mind throwing them a bone if you just want to get in there for three fights maybe and just have some fun.
It's possible.
Yeah. Maybe that's what we'll do. Keep an eye on us on social media, at MMA Junkie George, at The Goes. That works for Twitter and Instagram, and we'll update you on that. A watch-along, if you're not familiar, is what we do on Sportscaster on pay-per-views. We watch the fights along with you. If you order the pay-per-view, we're watching along with you because you're watching it too, except you're maybe listening to us and not Anik and the boys, or maybe you're switching back and forth, or maybe you're just giving us the viewership out of a courtesy, but you're really listening to them. I don't know, but that's what the watch-along is. But for those of you that don't want to order the pay-per-view, which is now $69.95, I believe, we're your eyes and ears. We'll tell you exactly what's happening. So check out the watch-alongs. Our next one's for UFC 253 on September 26th, headlined by Israel Adesanya and Paulo Costa. With that, we bid you adieu. We are out of here. Thanks, as always, for your support. I believe we're nearing 3,100 shows, so it's an incredible run. And for those of you who have been with us the whole time or most of the time, seriously, we love you guys. Any of you that just joined, hey, thanks a lot. And don't forget, you can always leave reviews on Apple Podcasts, and I'm sure whatever podcast platform you're on. Those really, really help us with the algorithm and getting the show out there. And also tell your friends. We're out of here, folks. Enjoy your evening. Enjoy your weekend. Enjoy the fights. Be a champion.